B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final hour and your calls, as promised. Darren is in the van on Kyle Van Noy. You want him back, Darren?
Yeah. So, first of all, for that caller, Wes, absolute clown. To say that Van Noy is not worth coming back because he's a loudmouth and then he's a hothead. He plays defense. Like, what did you want him to be, an angel? That dude's a donkey. I'm going to go one further. We got Hightower coming back. Let's make a hot deal with Detroit. And get our boy Jamie Collins back and get the real boogeyman going. That's what the people want. That's what Gillette Stadium needs.
Okay. I'm not doing it for, you know, Gillette Stadium. I'm doing it because I don't know if Bill's drafted good enough linebackers to fill in and be those guys right now. They don't have young, cheap replacements. But again, who knows? Because Jennings and Uche and those guys barely play. Back to the quarterback thing. They don't like playing rookies. And if they're not ready, they're not going to play you just because they drafted you. And you know that's going to extend to the quarterback thing as well. I just think Kyle Van Noy was a really good fit here. And I can put up with someone being annoying on Twitter. I mean,
sure.
That's our life now. Like, it's everyone's annoying on Twitter. He's just another annoying Twitter dude. But he fit in this defense. He got better by the day. So even if he's a lesser player, even if he got his money and rested on his laurels a little bit, I still think there's value to him. And so I'd absolutely bring him back. And I think getting Hightower and him back, even if they've lost a half a step, Maz, Hightower especially, they're still going to know. There's still that institutional knowledge that,
yeah,
I think they need.
Yeah, there's know-how there. Yeah, totally. Again, this is part of the reason why I'm okay with Hightower coming back on the same number. He's the one guy that I look at and say I would absolutely take him back on the same number. A lot of the other guys, I have doubts. But look, you know, they need bodies who know what the hell they're doing out there.
Kent in Rochester on the Pats. Go ahead, Kent.
Yeah, guys, didn't it come out last week that Belichick was making like 25 mil?
Yes.
Okay. Has anyone looked at the correlation of his compensation due to how much he stays below the cap?
Yeah, well, he's not on the cap, but I think it's been related to how they've spent on players. Yeah, I do. I do think.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's very indicative. I mean, season ticket holders, I'd be outraged because you could get away with a lot of this malarkey with Brady. Without Brady, no way.
Well, we're finding out, that's for sure. But I do think his salary is so high. You know, it's not just the run. He's not just the highest paid. It feels like he's the highest paid by 2X. He, you know, that the salary is so high, $25 million, that's quarterback money, and that has to impact what is spent on the roster.
What was he alluding to there, though? That so if they were to draft a first rounder and have to give them that kind of crazy money, that Bill would look at it as, well, I don't want that kid making as much money as me or close to it.
Well, I think he was insinuating that there's a direct correlation in terms of, like, maybe there's a bonus. You know, Bill stays $10 million under the budget, he gets 20% of that. I'm just throwing crap around. I mean, Mike, that was the theory years ago with Harry Sinden, remember?
Definitely. Yeah, well, Harry treated the money like it was his.
Well, so does Bill.
Yeah. Well, my guess, I mean, that might be the case, but my guess is that there's a football budget. And even though coaching salaries and scouting salaries are not on the salary cap, they're on the line item budget, the real world, the only thing that really matters, the money devoted to football from ownership. And so Bill's in there, and whatever, you know, someone makes over here is going to affect what someone makes over there. It's just, I don't know, it's just common sense. I don't know how else you would run your business. You can't have, there's just limits on spending, period. So at Bill's numbers so high, it has to impact the salary side of things. Here's Chris, player salary side of things. Chris in Worcester on Jack Eichel. You want him, Chris?
Can I ask a quick question real quick, and then I'll get to the Eichel Sweeney thing that I want to talk about.
Go.
When you say you pick at 15 and you're slotted, does it matter if you pick a Nate Ebner, a linebacker, or a guard? Is it all slotted like the same? Does the quarterback matter?
Yes, let me answer the question. It's an excellent question. It's roughly the same. Quarterbacks make a little bit more, but that's generally, and when I say slotted, it's It's historical. So they are kind of slotted, and quarterbacks make a little bit more, but you're still in for a lot of money when you draft in the top 10.
Thank you. All right, back to the Eichel trade. No, not for definitely McAvoy or Pastak. Sorry, no. And my thing is, Felger, you brought up Sweeney and how he handled Pastak, good, cheap, McAvoy, or I think he signed. So good money and good, you know, good things. I would not give Eichel $10 million. No way, right?
Scares me. Absolutely. I don't think he hasn't been a $10 million a year player. He hasn't translated to wins. I mean, again, he goes there to Buffalo. It's 6 years, and they've been in last place the entire time. I mean, they've had a few years where their first month of the year, they got off to a good month, and it's like, okay, it's finally clicking, and then they crater, go to the bottom of the division. They've been in last place since he got here, just about. It's like he's made zero difference in winning. And again, I'll just go like Connor McDavid. I know he hasn't won a cup either, but they've made the playoffs a couple times. They've been a good team. They're in it this year. And Eichel's had no impact on that whatsoever. But to me, it's really more an acquisition cost. I'm not giving up Pastrnak or McAvoy for that player. I'm just not. If I can get away with lesser pieces, and if Buffalo swallows some money, well, now we're talking. But no, I'm not paying a premium for that player. Chris in Florida on the Patriots. Hi, Chris.
Hey, boys. Jimmy G will be back for the Patriots this year. If you think back to how low the trade price seemed at the time, doesn't that all make more sense if it was secretly a rental with understood with a wink and a nod that the 49ers weren't to re-sign him, and all this stuff that San Fran is putting out there now is just a smokescreen to sort of hide all that? So I wonder what else is in some of them emails. And
Chris,
Brady has been in Belichick's head since before the start of the season, because doesn't bringing Cam Newton in seem like Bill's ultimate hold my beer, watch this move? Seems like he legitimately thought that media would be split right now half and half between talking about success Brady had, but also what he was able to do with Cam.
Chris,
he just couldn't pull it off.
Stop. Maz, you want to go?
Yeah, so look, it's a nice theory, okay, that there's a handshake agreement with him and Kyle Shanahan, and that if he ever moves him again, give me a call. And it's a nice theory, except that if they actually trade for him again, what's his salary again, Mike?
$24 million, something like this?
Like, that's kind of a big yeah, but, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, so again, given what we're talking about, the money that they would have to spend on a pick or the money they would have to spend on a free agent. Now a guy that's missed half the games since he's been out in San Francisco. And again, I'm a Garoppolo guy, but the reality is the reality. So now a guy that has missed half the games out there is going to come here and the Patriots are going to pay him $25
million? Well, the caller had the whole thing engineered. You know,
yeah, no, right.
How can anyone believe that type of narrative
at
this point?
Well, because Bill's just playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, Murray.
This was the big master plan the whole time.
The whole thing. God. Letting Brady go to Tampa and
yeah.
Win. Sucking with Cam Newton so everyone's divided. No one knows exactly, you know, is this 50-50 as the caller just said? And then, well, there's a handshake there between him and Kyle Shanahan just to hand him back to you when the time comes. And in the meantime, just sit on your hat, you know, make sure you don't say anything so we can play up the narrative. Like, it's all been engineered, the whole thing.
Oh, it's preposterous. And again, I told you what the scenario that concerns me is, let's say the Niners actually upgrade. Let's say the Niners go and make a trade and they get themselves Deshaun Watson. Let's say they do that, and they cut Garoppolo. Because, again, nobody wants to pay Garoppolo the $25 million. So let's say he gets cut. Well, then you better sign him. If someone else offers more money, like the Bears, you're done. So, again, it no matter what it is, there will always be an excuse for the Patriots. Well, we can't give up that because of the contract. Then he gets released. Well, we couldn't pay that because someone else paid it higher. Do you want players or not? Like, do you want good players or not?
To me, they land on their feet with Garoppolo, and that's a really nice outcome. And I hope it happens. I think it's going to come in the scenario you said where Garoppolo's released, they sign him for a team-friendly contract, and that's it. And if they have any sort of competition in terms of a draft pick compensation on a trade or a free agent contract, they're out. They're going to let someone else overpay for him, either with the draft pick going that way or the contract going that way.
They'll get outbid, Mike.
Exactly. Exactly. If there's no other suitors, if Garoppolo is no other market, and it's here or nothing, and they get him for him for their price, yep, I can see that. I don't see them paying a premium for him. I don't see them paying a premium for anyone.
Same.
There's going to be no premium players here, folks, especially not a quarterback. We are wasting our time talking about them trading up in the first round for a quarterback. I think we're wasting our time talking about them drafting a quarterback at 15.
I told you, if Patrick Mahomes were offered to them right now, but they had to take the existing contract, they'd say no.
They'd ask him to restructure. Ben in Greenfield. Go ahead, Ben. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to, well, first, thanks for taking my call. But, yeah, I just wanted to, I think I'm the only person left in Massachusetts that believes in Bill Belichick. I mean, this guy, he didn't know he had to go sitting on the bench. It took an injury for him to come in. And he's never been about the quarterback. He never will be. Let him rebuild this defense. We're in a rebuild. This is a long-term process, a long game. Doesn't make sense. It's going to go the other way eventually. You know, Brady just had surgery. You know, Bill's going to build up this defense, bring Cam back. There were a couple bad plays away from being 9-9, and they were entertaining. His best ability is availability anyway. You know, if you want to bring Garoppolo in, this kid's going to be hurt half the year. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, let's just go the way it's going, rebuild. You know, we'll find a QB eventually. You know, too bad Drew Brees couldn't come here to be, you know, set off. But
I think he just said a swear. Yeah, I can't
did,
say that.
He did. But I dropped it. Don't worry. I got it.
So, Ben, just, I'm keeping
my
you
bad,
on.
Guys. Thank you.
It's okay, but I'm keeping you on because I this is like a true old school and Bill We Trust guy, Murray. Like, I didn't know this guy still existed.
I mean, my favorite part of that was the, you know, Brady's going to go the other way. He's had that knee surgery now. So, no, everything's going to swing Bill's way now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, after last year. No, everything's going to. Yep. Oh, no. It's going Bill's way now. Sure feels that way.
Yeah, because Bill didn't have it go his way for 20 years.
Okay.
He's doing break, you know.
And bring Cam back, too, like the caller said. Yeah,
oh,
why not?
My God.
Yeah,
oh,
bring
God.
Cam back.
I still have faith in Bill as a coach. I do. I still think he gets you extra wins as a coach. I still have faith, and I know Murray disagrees. Maybe others do, too. I still think he can coach up a quarterback and get you more out of what he is than just what he is. So I still believe in Bill on that level. I am a little disillusioned, more than a little disillusioned, with their approach in acquiring the talent. And I don't have much faith in him as a GM and their approach monetarily. I don't have much faith in their approach in terms of acquiring that premium quarterback. And so there's not much faith there. But in terms of him coaching it up and getting more out of than what he's been handed by his GM himself, I still believe in that.
Yeah, I have trouble having as much faith without a quarterback. Just curious, you know, that whole thing about, you know, they treat September like the preseason. They're going to do that again? Can we assume on a 1-3 September, is that, you think that's going to fly this year if they get off to a slow start and they say we treat it like the preseason because they got Brady waiting to play in November and December? Is that going to fly?
We pick this up on the other side with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Maz.
What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
I got news for you. If I'm the Jets, I consider it. If I'm the Philadelphia Eagles at the 6th pick, I consider it. Now that Carson Wentz is gone and it's just Jalen Hurts there, I consider it all. I'm not ruling anything out right now. That's the way I look at it, and I'll end it by saying this to both you, Mel, and Max Kellerman. The way we've seen Mac Jones play, I want somebody, I understand Trevor Lawrence is another world. I totally get that. Trevor Lawrence is in a class by himself. But I'm trying to figure out, how come we haven't heard more about Mac Jones when it comes to comparisons to a Justin Fields or a Zach Wilson? I'm trying to figure that out. Can you help me out, guys? Please.
That's more from that segment today on ESPN. Boy, though. The hype train on Mac Jones. He's like the riser, right? Like, he's the guy that's getting all this momentum. You know, Tannenbaum has him first overall. He got trade up higher than 6. Kuiper's got the Pats trading to 8 to get him. You know, Stephen A. there is now like, okay, well, you got to explain to me why he's not going 2 to the Jets or 4 to the Falcons or whatever. Or, you know, I've got my draft order mixed up, but how come he's not going to the top 5? Explain that to me. What's going on with Mac Jones here, Maz? But let me tell you this.
Yeah, so look, I mean, don't you sense, and I don't mean to be so elementary and cavalier about this, that they just have to change their mock drafts every couple of weeks until they actually get to the draft? Like, don't you think that that is some of it? Like, I think the real hardcore NFL people look at it and say, Mac Jones is a mid to late first round pick at best. And if you take him there, it's because all the other quarterbacks are gone and you think there's no one else. Like, so I think there's a chance Jones could be there for them. And honestly, I think that that could be a fascinating decision, Mike, because they need a quarterback. Bill's never taken a quarterback that high. He played for Saban in Alabama, so Bill would have inside info there. If he was ever going to extend for a guy in the first round, maybe Jones would be the one. But I do feel like lately there's been an off. I'm sure it's because of the Senior Bowl, right? He did well there.
So to me, though, it's just another it's another thing that says if there's this run on a player and everyone's hot on this player and he's like the hot thing, does that sound like the Patriots that they get in there?
No.
And get on that run on this next hot thing and outbid a bunch of guys on the latest fad? Like, is that what they do?
No. Never.
Lead you to believe that they would this time around?
It's just the opposite. They're just the opposite. You know, they're value investors. And that's how you make money in business and in this side. Well, everyone is zigging, you zag. Well, everyone is following that thing. You sit back and look for the smarter, you know, investment that people are overlooking. So that's the last thing that they do is get in on the hot prospect, everyone that has the run on it. Like, in some respects, I think they feed the beast to get people to, you know, the misdirection. Like,
right.
You know, maybe they're hot on Jones to get other teams hot on Jones, and then they go in the other direction. So it's like, I think this whole thing is fantasy land. Trading up for a quarterback? No way. And the more you hear about Mac Jones, the less I think it's their guy. I don't think any of these guys are their guy, any of them. But on this whole thing, Murray, you yesterday, because Mel Kiper did compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady in one of his write-ups and some of his recent commentary.
Right.
Which got Mel Kiper all sorts of blowback, especially from the Brady crew. It's like, what are you doing, a-hole? You know, comparing a college quarterback to the greatest guy of all time. Max Kellerman in this segment had a message just for you specifically, Murray.
Oh.
Yeah, he basically, if you listen closely enough, he said your name. He actually impersonated your voice.
Okay, good.
But for those of you who are getting on Kiper for comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady, this is Max Kellerman for you. Number four, please.
Blah. I was just going to say, did he actually blah?
Yeah. He might as well. Of number four, when you're ready, please.
First of all, Mel, when you compare him to Tom Brady, I'm so sick of people when someone like you or someone in the media makes a comparison. Oh, are you saying you have to stop and say, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady. Listen, dummies, it's okay to use an all-time great as a comparison. It doesn't mean that Mel's saying this guy's going to be as great as Tom Brady. It means he does certain things that remind him of Tom Brady. It's not that hard. And that's saying a lot, by the way. That's a really good thing because Tom Brady just showed once again that the greatest attributes a quarterback can have are leadership and judgment. Quick processing and good judgment and leadership. Those are the greatest assets. And if Mac Jones has that, that says a lot of good things.
Okay, so he did blow. Yeah. Hey, don't you hate those media guys? Say, huh. Hey, dummies. So that's right for you, Murray.
Well, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree there, Max. I would use a younger quarterback, one that can read defenses and is heady and all that, just to say the words Tom Brady and Mac Jones and make a comparison and use those names in the same sentence is just asinine and stupid. But we'll agree to disagree, Max.
Yeah.
He did. He bled you. Why did Mel Kiper compare the two? Number five, Jimmy, he actually explained it.
My point, Mel, is if it's Mac Jones, fine. But the main thing is Belichick's got to find a guy he believes in and draft that guy this year.
No question. And the Mac Jones-Tom Brady comparison came up when I looked at Tom Brady when he came as a late sixth-round pick after they drafted somebody with their pick in the sixth round, a cornerback out of Virginia, New England did. Took Brady as a comp pick late in the sixth round. He had a 5'2", 4'40". He had a 24 vertical. Those were the two worst vertical 40 time of any quarterback I've ever evaluated outside of Ryan Mallett, and Mallett was drafted by the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. So when you look at Mac Jones, he's not Joe Burrow. He doesn't have the ability to beat you with his legs or run for first downs, okay? But he slips, he slides, he creates with his legs enough in the pocket to get the ball to those receiving options, as he did in that national championship game when he got the ball to Jaleel Billingsley, tight end, to help beat Ohio State.
Listen, I'm just going to keep saying words and names so that maybe you people will forget I said something incredibly stupid. Here's a big word salad. Choke on it. I'm just going to give you names that you can't. Huh? Oh, well, I forgot what Mel said. That's what he was hoping for there. What a dummy.
Seriously.
Oh, God.
They drafted. Trivia time. Who did the Patriots? So Brady wasn't even their own comp. It wasn't even their own sixth-round pick. It was a comp pick. With their own sixth-round pick, defensive back out of Virginia. I thought it was this guy. I got it right in my head. I didn't say it out loud. Who was the defensive back they drafted in the sixth round with their own pick ahead of Tom Brady?
Oh, God, in 2000?
Yep. This guy was actually good. He actually played. He actually contributed. Patriots hardcore is out there. Jim Louth somewhere, if he's listening, knows exactly who it is. Antoine Harris.
Oh, okay.
Antoine Harris scored on the scoop and scored.
Yeah.
Blocked field goal in Pittsburgh, I believe. And I believe... Did he fall on an interception in the Super Bowl? Did Terrell Buckley create it and recover it, or did Antoine Harris recover it? Or what was he in on that play?
I don't know. Harris play I really remember is the one in the AFC Championship game you're talking about.
I thought Harris had the scoop and score. I think he scored that. And then there was another play there in that run that he was right in the middle of. I can't remember exactly what it is. Okay, so that was neither.
Was that Ricky Prohl who fumbled? I think it was, actually, right?
Sorry for story time. Don't usually do that. Okay, but the whole thing about this Jones run, this Jones hype, as soon as a player is hyped and overhyped, count the Patriots out. Like, they would never lower themselves to follow the herd and be another one of these lemmings who get duped, the dumb teams that spend money the first day of free agency or trade up in the draft or lose their minds and sell themselves for one prospect at one position. Those are for the dummies. Okay, you spend money in free agency, dumb. You trade up in the draft, dumb. Those are the dumb teams. The more I think of this, the more I think we are just wasting our time with this trade up. Be aggressive. They're going to go get their quarterback. It's got to be whether it's Jones or Lance. It's someone they're going to get. I think there's no shot of this. None.
Don't you think? Okay, so look. See, I happen to agree with you. Okay, I happen to agree with you. But there have been times where they have traded up or at least tried to. Right?
The try-to doesn't count. What does the try-to do for me?
Well, I'm just saying that it indicates that there's a willingness.
Yeah, I tried to bang Elizabeth Hurley. It didn't quite work out. So, like, do I get credit?
Yeah, him and Danny Ainge then. They're the trying kings. Yeah. Right. Oh, they were in on. Yeah, right. put up banners of being in on guys. Yay. Yeah,
he tried for Anthony Davis. We give him credit for landing Anthony Davis.
Well, I'm just saying, but this is about intent and what they're willing to do, what they aren't willing to do.
They're not really willing to do it.
No, like Baker Mayfield.
They're not really willing to do it.
Okay. I mean, but they did trade up and take Chandler Jones, right? And I definitely trade up for both those guys.
Those were, I think, less than a handful of spots, but they did.
Okay. I'm just trying to provide a little bit of hope for the pessimists
out there. In the 20s. Like, in the 20s. They traded up a few slots in the 20s. They also traded up one slot to get Ty Warren in 2003, whatever year that was.
I'm just trying to offer a little balance to the program.
From 14 to 30.
That's all I'm trying to do.
You tell me when they did something like go something from 15 to 6.
I mean, if you ask me what I think's going to happen, they're trading out of the first and they'll end up in the third. That's what I think's going to happen.
When you're don't waste your time. I mean, you can. 617-779-0985. We're going to waste our time on this for the next 2 months. I'm not discouraging you. I'm just saying, if you're being realistic, scroll down on those college quarterbacks. Who's the big stiff in Florida who can't move?
Kyle Trask. Snowshoes.
That's the guy.
Yep, Snowshoes Trask.
Second, third round, no guaranteed money, cheap dollars to put on the bench. That's the guy.
There's some other guy they've been linked to who, like, didn't play Wake Forest.
Yeah.
He didn't play last year, right? They've been linked to him. That's a Bill move.
So this is a good little, if you've forgotten the name, that's the guy.
Yes.
That's the guy. If you've forgotten the name, you don't remember where he went to school, just don't remember him, that's the target.
Yep, it's that kind of jackass that they will take. And in fact, Murray, we should make sure we throw a marker at him when we do the big board this year. Wake Forest quarterback who skipped the year.
One final segment of your calls coming up after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh! All right, just following up on a couple quick news items before we wrap it up with your calls. Murray's been reporting on today these two things. One, those emails, those internal emails between Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft as part of the Brett Bielema lawsuit with the University of Arkansas will remain sealed. Oh, shucks.
I know.
Why is it? I feel like, Maz, we've had a couple things here. We've been knocking at the door of the inside. You know, Brady ditches his phone. We never really get to see what's on that puppy. We can't get the video of Robert Kraft in the spa. Not that we really want it. I'm just sort of adding it to the list. You know, and then this thing, the emails there of Kraft and Belichick talking about coaching salaries and how they're going to fit Brett Bielema into their coaching thing without spending any money or, you know, putting the Razorback Foundation on the hook for it, and how they kind of how the sausage is made there in terms of the budget. That thing was those emails were almost released as part of that lawsuit. Those remain sealed. All we've gotten was Dorito Dink's phone,
yep.
Which, by the way, was like, you know how good that thing was. Like, that was some high-quality material right there. You know, Jimmy McNally's phone. Just think what if we could have had Brady's phone, what it would have been. Or, you know, Bill's emails with Robert. Like, so, but I feel like other than Dorito Dink's phone, we've been shut out. We're 0 for 3. We're 0 for our last 3.
I know, to get the real inside stuff.
So cracking the code and really getting in there. One of these times, the Pats probably do have good lawyers. I mean, they must. I think the deflator thing was a little bit of a misstep by old Dan Goldberg there and the Patriots lawyers. I don't know if they're 100%. In court, they're pretty good, obviously. One of these times, they got to suffer a lot. One of these times, we're going to get in there, man. One of these times, we're going to get access to it. Have to. They can't bat 1,000 forever. So sooner or later, we're going to see those emails. We're going to see what we came to see at some point.
Better happen in like the next 5 or 10 years, though.
All right. The other item, I think you just reported this morning, unless I wasn't listening carefully enough. Jalen Brown will play tonight.
Correct. Yeah, he is. It's being reported as he's available. So, you know, yes, he's technically available to play, but will he play all that much? Because again, you got to keep that knee right for the All-Star game.
We all know he's got to be fresh for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
We all know we got to keep himself. Yeah, he has to be ready for that exhibition. Yeah, and if that means he has to lose regular season games because of it, so be it. That's just the price of being a young NBA star. You got to make that All-Star game, man. And so if he's got to sit out against the Clippers or any of these regular season games, he will sit them out. You better believe it, because he needs to be fresh as lettuce when you get to that All-Star game. It's really important for these guys. So I know I'm being super sarcastic. If he misses time, any more time, but plays in that All-Star game, the Celtics fan has a right to be livid.
Absolutely.
Him or Tatum. Because, again, Tatum's dealing with the after effects of COVID, he said, right? So, again, I've said this now for a few days. If either of these guys were truly being responsible, I would think that they wouldn't go to the All-Star game in Atlanta. You want to rest up and be ready for the second half of the season, I would think. But, of course, that's not going to happen.
I mean, that Kemba Walker thing last year is outrageous. It doesn't get played nearly enough. It doesn't get mentioned nearly enough. He was banged up going into the All-Star game. He overplayed his minute restriction. So he plays in the thing to begin with, which is not a team-first thing to do, selfish thing to do. But even then, they have a minute restriction on him. He blows through it. Blows right through the minutes restriction, comes back from the All-Star game, is never right, and is one of the reasons you can't get to the NBA Finals, because Kemba Walker sucked down the stretch because his knee was bothering him, and he played through that All-Star game, and it impacted him in the regular season. This is an outrageous story. It's like it's almost accepted in the NBA.
Didn't Kyrie do something similar when he was here? Didn't he go to the All-Star game one year and play in it when he really should have rested?
Probably.
I think he did. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
I remember Brad Stevens came on during his, I think it was his weekly interview.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Owen Beadle, and he was like, oh, no, it's all good. Like, he must have wanted to, like, puke when he saw himself in the mirror after we talked about it. Like, because you know that they hated the fact that he went there. Because, yeah, he was nursing an injury at the time, and he still went and played in the All-Star
game. It's right. So Brown and Tatum are hardly alone, but still, be that as it may. Let's see. Let's see what Brown has to offer in these last couple games before the All-Star break and after. And Tatum, for that matter, too. And if they are not fully available during the regular season, but make themselves available into that All-Star game, you have a right to be pissed off.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wrap it up here with your phones. As promised, we've got George and Peabody. You want Kyle Van Noy back on this team?
Yes. What do you think? Get Kyle Van Noy back here? You think
they'll
go after him?
If he's cheap, George. What's cheap? $5 million or less?
Oh, less than that. Isn't he getting paid? Or I guess the money was not guaranteed, right?
Oh, 15, well, wait a minute.
It was 15 guaranteed at signing.
If there's some offset language there, if the Dolphins are paying anything, they will be first. They will be aggressive for that guy.
Yeah. In fact, they offered to go pick him up.
They will be first. If someone else is paying his salary, yes, that's the guy the Patriots are actually aggressive on.
No question. No question.
But if there's a big market for Kyle Van Noy, I don't see it. If they have to outbid someone for Kyle Van Noy, I don't see it. I don't see them outbidding many teams for many guys. I don't think they've been knocked far enough down to be that team yet. So I don't. But if Kyle Van Noy is sitting there and doesn't have a lot of offers and you can get him for a decent number, I hope he's back. He should be back. He fits well in this defense.
Boy, the Pats are like that. The guy who waits in the bar till closing to see, like, who the last. Yeah, I'm going to stop there.
Who
the last chick in the bar is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if so many beers by then, it's not going to matter anyway.
The Patriots go home with a gal with teeth like this.
Right, like Jack Lambert.
Jim on Cape Cod. We're on the Bruins and Jack Eichel. You want him, Jim?
Yeah, actually, I don't. I think his price tag is too much. Do you think Pittsburgh would take Lazon, Stodnicka, and a couple number one picks and part of Sidney Crosby's salary to do that deal instead?
Okay, Jim. I hope so. Like, that's what I would hope. That's what I would hope, that you can get Sidney Crosby for Pickett. Two of the two. Just take Marchand, Bergeron, McAvoy, and Pastrnak off the list and have two players and two first-round picks. Take any two you want. DeBrusk and Lozon, Vakanainen and John Pleacher, is that his name? They drafted in the first round a couple years ago, big center at Michigan, whatever. Whoever you want. I'll give you three guys, frankly. I'll give you three players and a first-round pick, and you can pick them, whoever you want. If you get him to bite on Coyle or Krejci or something like that, then you're really, like, you're scoring, but you can have whoever you want. I would do it. I just wouldn't trade to me because then I'm just not trading anyone else. I'm not trading McAvoy or Pastrnak. Never mind Marchand or Bergeron for Crosby. Now you're peeling guys off just to add and you're treading water. So,
by the way, Mike, just if you want to know, Kyle Rudolph is going to be released has been released by the Vikings. He's another guy that got released today along with Van Noy, I guess, technically hasn't been released yet, right?
Okay, we'll put him on the list.
Tight end, right? You need a tight end.
That's a guy.
I'd take Kyle Rudolph. Murray, would you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping the Patriots were going to be in on him last year around the trade deadline because there was rumors of him being moved then.
100%.
Oh, yeah, he's better than any sack of donuts you have there anyway.
Nate in the truck. Go ahead, Nate. What do you got?
Hey, real quick, Tony, that guy from Wake Forest is Jamie Newman. That's not the reason why I called. The reason why I called, it's not a normal year. It hasn't been a normal year for 20 years. And looking at that, Josh McDaniels was looking to get Lamar Jackson a couple years ago. I think they are going to trade and they're going to try to go for a Trey Lance or be it a Justin Fields. Just look at reason why they brought in Cam Newton. He runs the RPO. They're looking to change that up. Reason being is, if you look at it this time last year, maybe around May, the rumor was they were looking at Cam Newton. But remember, like the Pats want, at their price. So they got him at their price. So they are going to make that big move now, seeing that they have to go young. And seeing that these quarterbacks like Burrow, Herbert, even Kyle Murray, that they started right away,
Nate,
that's what they're going to do. They're not going to go year to year with the quarterback. Oh.
Okay, well, but you just said at their price.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's like Nate in a truck. It's sucker in a truck is what that is. Yeah, keep taking the cheese. Good luck.
But you had it right at their price. So apply that to the drafted quarterback. Is trading up, is giving up an extra first-round pick to trade up into the top 10 and then give that quarterback $20 million signing bonus at their price? Does that sound like their kind of price?
Nope.
No.
Okay, nope. So, no. But now, if you're telling me that Justin Fields has slid and he had an Aaron Rodgers kind of slide. And Justin Fields is now going to be available in the late 20s. Can I see the Patriots trading down from 15 or up from their second round pick and taking that quarterback at the end of the first round? That might be a sweet spot there, Maz, because the bonus money's way down at the end of the first round, and you get that fifth-year team control with the rookie option for a first-round pick, which you know they will beat the rookie over the head with. You know, they will leverage that fifth year like you read about, but that gives them a whole – that's a fifth-year team control, and you're not paying big upfront money to a guy like you're drafting in the top 10. That to me, is the only first-round quarterback I see, some sort of slider. And at 30-31, they either trade down or trade back up, and that's where Lamar Jackson was. That's why I thought Lamar Jackson was coming off the board there, because that's a good contract down there, and that's the only scenario I see.
So that area late in the first round, then, is what we would call Patriots utopia? Is that what that is?
Sweet
that's
spot.
Like their little happy zone. That's their G-spot down there, down there late in the first round. The Patriots G-spot. That's what tickles their funny bone.
Yep. Good contracts down there. Spike King on Van Noy. Yes, Spike King.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I know Patriots Nation today is a little excited. They said the possible reunion of Kyle Van Noy. And I know this is going to be fan with sources, and you take it with a grain of salt. But I can get backed up by a couple people over there. Kyle Van Noy's wife wants to come back to New England, misses the people and her friends. But she says there's a little resentment by the way they were treated by fans towards the end. The landing spot for Kyle Van Noy, guys, going to be the Tennessee Titans. He's looking to move his family out there to Nashville.
Okay, so I thought you first said there's a chance to come back here because his wife misses the people. File under things that are almost never said about Boston or New England.
Yeah, just have her call Giselle, see what she says. She'll talk her right out.
I really miss the people. You don't hear that every day.
No, definitely not. Yeah, they have a little resentment to how they were treated at the end. Really? I have a little resentment about how much of an a-hole he was.
Oh, man.
And if not Tennessee, I could see Joe Judge and the Giants being in on him.
If other teams are in, you're out.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I know. But if he's sitting there and he's got the right price, he's a good fit back. I'd like to see him back.
Nope.
But if there's competition, forget it. You'd have to be stupid to get involved in a competition for a player. That's for the dumb teams.
Whether it's the draft or the free agent market, you have to drop into the G-spot or they're not going after you.
Final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
No one, Jim.
All right, well, figured with the wild winds whistling throughout the region over the last 24 hours, it would be best to revisit this classic from some years ago.
Oh, I know what this is.
It has to be.
Final word, yeah.
Reyes and Revere, Ray, what do you got?
What about the wind factor? Wasn't it true the Bruins were trying to skate against the wind, and they looked like they were skating with cement in their skate?
Yeah, so Ray, what was the excuse in the second period, though?
The second period, you tired it out after the first period. I mean, have you ever tried skating or riding a bicycle against the wind?
Why should that matter? It's not like the difference between...
Because one team is skating with the wind and the other team is trying to skate against the wind.
Against the wind. They got tired from skating into the wind? They were skating against the wind. That's what you're coming with? They lost the game because they were skating against the wind. That's your excuse? Hey, so Ray, when Tuukka Rask calls the loss embarrassing and when Claude Julien describes it the way he doesn't, well, then they're idiots too then, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, that's right. I forgot that you have all the answers on everything. That's right. I forgot.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Ray, I got news for you, pal. Stop making excuses. They got their asses kicked. They got their asses kicked. They didn't show up. They didn't show up. They got their asses kicked and they were undermanned. I'm not bringing up the wind.
Stop,
will ya? Please. You want to bring up the wind, you can bring it up. But please. They got tired from skating into the wind? What they look like in the first period was a minor league outfit.
What?
If I'm being honest, you could accuse me of laziness, but I was going to go for my usual Tuesday jog today. I was like, no, too windy. I don't want to deal with the wind.
you don't want to be going against the wind.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.